Check test one, two, audio check.
Can you repeat the question then, too?
Sure. A very good question here is, what causes embryonic death and when does it occur? And probably more importantly, I guess the question is, can we go ahead and put a seeder into a cow after AI at some point and to enhance fertility? And we actually just published a study where we did that, and really putting a seeder into a beef cow post AI at any point doesn't help at all. Several things cause early embryonic death, and it might depend on when, anywhere from embryos die shortly after fertilization up until hatching, then there's a period of time to maternal recognition, and a variety of other things cause embryonic death then, and then later embryonic death. A lot of factors cause it, and we could go into several of those factors, but we've put seeders into cows at all stages post-timed AI and never seen an increase in pregnancy rates all the way up to 21 days.
Any other questions?
Yeah. I made a note and had a note here that giving DNRA prior to insertion of seeder was questionable if that was an advantage or not.
I think is giving GnRH at seeder insertion is it a good idea, or does it really work in cows? Yes, definitely. In heifers, I think several of us might be able to comment on this, but in our work, especially in non-cycling heifers, but even in cycling heifers to some extent, when we give GnRH to females at random stages of the estrous cycle, if they're not cycling, we're only getting about 30 to 40% of those cows to turn over, those heifers to turn over a follicle. So, but in terms of a timed AI protocol, we generally recommend to give the GnRH injection because it seems to reduce the variation in pregnancy rates. And that's why the recommendation is in a timed AI protocol.
That's probably one of the things that we've seen in heifers, like Cliff said, that you know, in comparing the short-term seeder protocols with the longer-term ones, we looked at response with the seeder select protocol. There was a 14-day seeder wait, 9 days give GnRH, wait 7 days and give prostaglandin versus a 7-day co-sync. And the response to GnRH was significantly improved on the long-term treated heifers just based on how it sets them up stages cycle-wise. But our data agrees with Cliff's in terms of the shorter protocol.
What's the earliest that you could turn in a cleanup bull and not interfere with the conception that supposedly you would be getting with that timed AI?
Well, I'll answer what we do with all of the live herds we work with and all of our research herds, and I'll pass this on. But, pardon me? Yeah, the question was how early are we turning in cleanup bulls, or how early would we recommend turning cleanup bulls in? Basically, when you time breed these cows and give GnRH at the time you're inseminating, those cows, as Mike showed in that one slide, those cows that have not expressed heat, they're going to go ahead and ovulate within about 30 hours, after that injection. What we typically do, because we like the separation so we can really definitively tell who conceived to AI based off the ultrasounds for our research work versus those that conceived to cleanup, we generally hold them out a minimum of 10 days, in a lot of cases 14 days. That gives us a really good break in terms of calving, it's much cleaner that way. The thing that we've seen in terms of calving on cows that conceived to the same bull on the same day, generally about 60% of those cows, if you inseminate 100 cows and you get 60% of those cows pregnant, the maximum number of cows that we've seen calve on the peak day of calving is about 20%. And so, like Cliff's data showed, they're going to spread out over roughly as many as what we've seen is up to 20 days. But if you have that break in there and are able to ultrasound the cows, you're going to get a much better, description of who conceived to arrive versus those that conceived to clean up. So we keep that separation of 10 to 14 days, and I'll pass this on to see what other folks do.
I do have a comment on that a little bit, especially if you're giving GnRH. When you give GnRH to a cow that could potentially be coming into heat, a lot of the heat activity will totally subside within about 12 hours after you give that GnRH injection. So from a research standpoint, we generally keep the bulls out 10 to 15 days, somewhere in that range, just because we want to be sure. But what we make recommendations to, if it's that important, is just to wait 24 hours. And because in my case anyway, if I was a producer and one cow came into heat, say 3 days after the time they eye, and you didn't have the bull in there, I think it'd be more valuable to get that bull pregnant, that cow pregnant, to the bull, and rather than waiting another 21 days after that to get that cow pregnant. So from a practical standpoint, I would still make the recommendation to turn the bulls in sooner than 10 days, probably 1 or 2 days after you time AI. But you're not going. There are not a lot of cows. We've used HeatWatch, and I'm sure Dave's group has too, and many others. But we've used HeatWatch, and you don't see too many cows coming to heat. Your first cow or two will be coming into heat 13 or 14 days after time they are.
I'll try to ask this question right. On the test that you run on the different herd groups, you got the percentage. At any one time, did you ever test the semen to see how the quality of the semen was? Good, bad, or indifferent, whether it made a difference?
Well, we work real closely, with all the research groups that we work with. We work real closely with the AI company, so it goes through their quality control. The thing that I comment on relative to the work that we've done, and I think that's supported from other groups around the country, is that you're going to see differences among bulls, especially on these timed AI programs. Some bulls, it's clear, work very well, and others do not work as well. And I think that some of the data, that's data that some of the AI companies are really working on to try and evaluate. But it pays to do your homework, work with your AI rep, before you identify a bull that you want, especially if you're time breeding, to see if there's any timed AI data on those particular bulls, because it can make a difference.
I do think that Joe Dalton might be able to answer some of those questions regarding bulls sometime tomorrow. So maybe bring that question back again tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Going back to the previous question, if a commercial producer, like you said, is not willing to leave the bull out for more than 24 hours, trying to measure your success, and you come back and you time AI on one day, come up with a due date, or you stay and use about 10 days on each side of that due date to try to determine your AI success based on the calving rate, or is it 2 weeks on each side of the calving on each side of the due date to determine the best you can.
Thanks, Sandy. There's your calving distribution, and those herds would have had bulls turned in 10 to 14 days after timed AI. And you can see there is a gray area, but I think you're right. 10 or 11 days after your due date would probably be about where we would cut it off. We have the luxury of ultrasounding these cows to know which ones are pregnant to AI. They were ultrasounded 30 days after insemination, but there is an overlap. It's not going to be perfect. I mean, your only way of really doing any of getting a 100% accurate way might be on those calves that you have questions on, is to do DNA, but it's probably not that important.
And as a follow-up question, a scoring question: if you're trying to determine your first 21 days, your calf born first 21 days, do you count that day from your actual projected due date, or because you'll always have some calving earlier, and often 10, 11, or 12 days prior to that expected due date. So when you're trying to compare it to national average or success, where do you start that 21 days?
Uh, I would just comment on that based on what our SPA recommendations are for counting calving distribution would be to go to one, you know, one option is to look at, you know, a 283 gestation length, but the other is to look at when the third calf is born. And I guess I would distinguish between mature cows and first calf heifers there. But, yeah, so that would be another option of when to start your first 21 days, because we know we're really getting some early calves when we time inseminate and when they come. And so that gets off that far tail end of any normal distribution probably by going to that third calf that's born. Whether that's absolutely right, it's one way to look at it, I guess.
In that situation, you're then liable to these cows that are calved early.
Well, I guess I'm not really penalizing them. I'm just looking at where you're how you handle the data and interpret it. You know, I guess I don't see that I'm penalizing, but maybe I'm not in understanding you correctly.
Maybe that was the wrong term. I guess what you're saying is FOG data says you go to the third calf
home. Right, to start counting that first 21 days, okay? Because we know we always have some extreme on the outliers, and it's just one way to take a little bit of that out to get you more to the beginning.
We've you know, got data on 800 calvings on cows that were time bred, and you know, these were all Angus-based cows, both Angus bulls, and they all conceived on the same day. Basically, what we've seen with those cows is that the mean gestation length has been about 282 to 284 days. It's pretty tight, but the earliest calving cows will come about 10 days ahead of that, and they'll taper off, you know, as long as 9, 8, 9, 10 days after that. So they're going to spread 17 to 20 days, you know, at the longest. But that means pretty close around, like Sandy said, 283 days.
Tom, you have a question?
Yeah, Dr. Patterson, we use an MPA protocol with our heifers, and it seems like in some years we have quite a few that you know, don't respond, you know, maybe 25%. It ranges from, let's say, 10% to 25%. And we notice that a lot of times, I think, here, the planner says most of them should start coming in 2 days after we withdraw the MGA, you know, first time. And we rarely see any before 3 and 4, and we'll go a lot of them up to 10 to 12. One, and we're using a complete mixed ration with the MJ supplement mixed in. Is that part of the problem? And one would ever put in a second shot of lutealase, or actually the first one, somewhere around like 10 days after withdrawing MJ, help a situation like that? Because we will, now going on with it, a lot of times we'll detect for six and a half days. And any that haven't responded will give a second shot of MGA, or not MGA, lutealase. And if we've had four, like, let's say 75% detection, we'll easily have half of those respond to that, if not more. We've had good 95%, it'll maybe just 10% will respond.
Patterson says I can start.
Thank you.
Yes. MGA is my baby. So when you say 3 days after, you're right on. That's when they're supposed to start coming back after you pull the MGA. Doesn't matter if you're feeding a half a milligram or a milligram. So 3 to 8, they may drift a little bit, but not very much. Now, Patterson's going to do the MGA prostaglandin part.
Are you talking about the heat expression after MGA or after prostaglandin or both?
Both, actually. A lot of them don't start 4 days after, and
right.
Turn to 10 or 12
right.
days.
Right. Well, I mean, we showed you that one graph, you know, the comparison of the 14-day seeded versus the MGA-treated heifers and how much they'll spread out. The other thing that you're going to see in some of these heifers, and we saw it when we were working with MGA, you know, the 14-day program in cows, is that you'll have a percentage of non-cycling females, okay, that don't show heat coming off the MGA, but they ovulate, but then they'll actually short cycle. And those cattle that short cycle are induced ovulators that then express heat prior to the time you give prostaglandin. So they're the ones that are expressing heat out as late as 12 days, like you talked about. That's why we added GnRH to the mix with the MGA Select protocol, because it basically resets that follicular wave. And if you are using MGA Select on groups of heifers like that, you'll typically, you may see a higher response to after the prostaglandin injection versus those that just got straight MGA prostaglandin. So there are some things going on there in terms of, you know, cyclicity and also persistent follicles that you're going to have on some of those heifers that could cause those delays.
Kevin?
What if we have a scenario where we have a group of cows with body condition score of 5 or better? We're trying to back these cows up, so we want to put something in them as few days postpartum as we can. And getting a high percentage of these cows bred AI is very important to us, and we're willing to go 2 rounds AI. What would you suggest?
Okay, I'll try and answer the questions separately. If I understand correctly, is what would we do to synchronize cows that you shift the calving season? Okay, so you want to kickstart a high percentage of non-cycling cows, and then you're willing to AI a couple of times or resynchronize an AI again. The first recommendation is make sure that you don't put a seeder or a progestin into those animals that have calved within 14 to 21 days, because that really screws up uterine involution. It delays it. So don't put a seeder into a cow, and just use a rule of thumb as 21 days. So if a cow's calved within the last 21 days, she shouldn't get a seeder, because that'll actually delay when she comes back into heat. If they're in good condition, whenever we do these studies, we include cows as early as 21 days postpartum in our experiments, and we're going to get a percentage of those to come into heat or to ovulate and actually become pregnant, but don't expect a 62% pregnancy rate. But there is a chance you're going to get several of them pregnant. You're also going to kickstart several cows to start cycling, and they might not become pregnant to AI, but at least you might get them pregnant in your subsequent heat detection. And so to answer your second question then, on resynchronization, there are not a lot of options out there, but what we have done is we've synchronized cows with a timed AI protocol, just like we talked about with the co-sync seeder system, whether it's a 7 or 5 day system, and then come back about, just to reduce the amount of days we actually heat detect, we'll come back and put a seeder back into those cows at about day 12 or 13 after the initial AI, but pull a seeder 19 days later. So if any cows would have come into heat during that period of time, you don't have to heat detect them, pull it, and then the cows will come into heat that are not pregnant in 2 or 3 days. But don't give those cows prostaglandin.
Right.
You will lose some pregnancies.
Maybe to put a little more practical perspective to it, if you use an example of cows that are calving, let's say around here in January, February, and March, and our targeted first day of the breeding season is April 1, if we're going to use one of these protocols, we're going to be synchronizing in late March or begin the synchronization process so that we're timed inseminating on or around April 1. In our hands or in our herd, then the average postpartum interval on that group of cows that we deem to be eligible for synchronization and AI at that time, it's going to be about 75 days plus or minus postpartum. That will include cows, and by our rule, we do not synchronize. We don't put a seeder in anything or start synchronizing until they're about 36 days postpartum minimum, so they'd be about 45 at the time of insemination. And the reason for that is that even though you can induce cyclicity, we know from a lot of data over the years that even though uterine involution is pretty much done by 30 days, if you start inseminating cows much before 40 days post-calving, your conception rates are going to go down. Now, on balance, that may be okay. You may be willing to accept that in lieu of getting more cows cycling early and having a chance of getting semen in them, but just as Cliff pointed out, don't expect a 62% preg rate. But again, going back to my example, we would have an average 75-day postpartum cow, but we'd have a range anywhere from 40 or 42 days, let's say, up to as many as 90 days. So in the, relative to the question here, if you wanted, if you had some cows that needed to be moved up, well, you probably were not trying to move them well before my example of April 1. You're talking about cows that are calving late at the end of the of the of the calving season, and so those cows would not be eligible for that first group that we would be breeding on April 1. They would probably be the second group toward the end of April or even later. You know, so certainly you can move those cows up and you're not insulting your breeding season. You're just actually trying to move those cows back toward the beginning of it, and what Cliff said applies. And but again, those short postpartum cows, you have to make a decision. Are you, is it more important when you get those cows kicked off, get semen in them, and accept perhaps a lower preg rate on them, versus the fact that you know you're going to get a lower conception rate and maybe you need to wait a little longer? But it's kind of a trade-off.
Yes, sir.
Do you find out that Brangus heifers or cows respond the same to prostaglandin injection or GnRH in terms of time post injection when you were time inseminated, or is that animal the same? That's why we're being in English.
These guys have avoided this issue very much today.
Repeat it.
The answer is that the question is, do Brangus cows, and if we talk more generically, Bos indicus influence, so Brangus, Beefmaster, you know, whatever you want to talk about, crossbred cows that have some Brahmin in them, are they going to respond to these protocols the same? The answer is no, they will not. In many ways they do, but the fertility is not the same. Fertility of these cows, of those cows, is not any is good or better than the kind of cows that these guys are talking about. The problem is that when we synchronize them using these protocols, there are nuances associated with follicular wave control, perhaps temperament, other things that we don't know about, that are fixed time AI pregnancy rates are generally nowhere near what you saw on these tables today. Over many years of synchronizing crossbred Mormon cattle, Brayford cattle, and so forth down here in South Texas, with the old Synchromate B, we could get, on cows, we could get 45 to 55% fairly regularly. Synchromate's no longer there. Using the CoSync plus CETA protocol, either 7-day or 5-day, no matter when we inseminate, how you do it, no matter body condition, you're looking at 35 to 40%. So what's going wrong? What's the problem? Well, we don't know for sure. We've looked at many, many different aspects. The fertility in those cows is just as good as a straight Angus, or in fact, in some cases, they may be better due to heterosis, if you just turn them out of the bull. So what are we doing to them that's creating these problems? If you use a CoSync plus CETA protocol, for example, and you pull the CETA and you go on an ultrasound and you look at the ovaries, they've got large follicles. Apparently, we are at 66 hours, which is sort of the target now, or even at 72, or even a little earlier, even at 48 hours. You give prostaglandin, or give GnRH and time inseminate, we apparently are fertilizing oocytes that are not physiologically mature. So if we wait a little longer, we're missing cattle that ovulate early, and so we miss them. If we come earlier, we're missing cows that would have ovulated on their own later, and we have not found a single time point. And this is accentuated by the fact that if you use a SelectSync protocol and just follow estrus and ovulation in those cows, including Brangus, the average interval from CETA removal to estrus is about 7 hours versus 50-something in these cows, and the average interval of ovulation is close to 100 hours. But if you look at the distribution is fairly wide. So the point is, there may not be a single point in time using that protocol where you can optimally, on a statistical basis, get 50-60%. At least we haven't been able to do it. So we're looking at modifications of the system and trying to understand more specifically what the Bosemicus influence does and whether we can, you know, look at doing some different things to make this work. But right now, we're not there.
Same issue in Nevers?
Yeah.
I just want to reiterate something that Gary said there, too, is that, and I meant to say this when I gave my presentation, but the frustrating thing is that these Bosindicus influenced cattle are fertile, and we have several studies that we've been doing in Brazil where they use totally different products that they have available to them and getting excellent pregnancy rates, very often similar to some of the things that we've reported here. We just don't have those products available. So we, within that confined products we have to figure out something that does work.
Stan?
As related to the five-day on cows, is there a possibility that saving trips through the chute on the PG injection, that you could give one dose IM and the other dose sub-Q? Or does that even work?
Well, I don't know if we have that answer, but we are doing a fairly large study now on about, I think, 4,000 cows, where we are testing two injections of prostaglandin at the time of seed removal. We just don't know that answer. We're trying to eliminate that second injection of prostaglandin on that second time through the chute. But right now, we just don't have a recommendation to prevent that. So it might or might not work, what you're saying, but we just can't make that recommendation yet.
Any additional questions?
I'd make one comment. Stan, the Cliff showed you some of the numbers from the work we've done in Missouri. Our group's pretty much stuck with a 66-hour time of insemination on the 7-day protocol, and a lot of the other data that's relative to the 7-day protocol has been in the 60 range. He showed the heat distribution on those cows, but the work that Dallas Wilson had done this last year, that'll be coming out in Animal Science later this year, basically the head-to-head comparison with the 7-day 66 versus the 5-day, two injections, there was no difference in terms of pregnancy rates. And the data on the 7,000 cows that he showed, that was all at 66 hours. So.
Yeah, Tom?
That brings up another question is, why do you see sometimes on the synchronization, one year you will have, let's say, doesn't matter what the protocol it is, but you'll have them come in, let's say on Cedar system, you'd have come in mostly at 48 hours, some of them starting at 36 hours, and other years they're coming in about 12 hours later. Why do we see a difference in years?
Part of that may depend on the response up front to GNRH, and I'll pass this on down the line, but you might see differences in terms of the response to that initial injection at GNRH that's going to influence timing. But the other thing that we've seen over the years is you're going to see differences in interval to estrus based on, in some cases, body condition of the cows, differences in some cases relative to cow age. But there's a lot of variables there that you're playing with that are going to influence that timing. But I'll pass this on for other ideas.
I think Dave's right, but and one of the big things, Tom, is that cows that are not cycling when you start the system, they will tend to come into heat sooner than cows that were cycling when you started the system. So again, that's another variable, that if you have a high percentage of cycling cows this year, there's going to be a little bit later. If you have a high percentage of non-cycling cows, they might come into heat a little bit sooner.
Kind of an analogy to that, because of these problems with these Bostonicus influenced cattle, we've been trying to figure out different approaches to that, and there's a theory floating around the globe these days that Bostonicus influenced cattle, Brangus or otherwise, may be more sensitive to progesterone than an English cow or a European cow. And that when we put a cedar in a cow that's got a mature CL, the progesterone is so high that we are impeding follicular growth when we reset the follicular wave. And so when we pull the cedar out, it just takes too long for those follicles to mature, or we've got too much variation. So we have very preliminary information on this, and I don't want to put this out there as being, you know, this is the answer, but in this, it requires more work. But we started looking at this in our cows, and we had three treatments, and we were using the 5-day coercine plus cedar this as a standard control, and we get 30-35% using that protocol in these Braford cows. But the comparison was to give them prostaglandin up front at the time we put the cedar in. And then the third treatment was to give them prostaglandin up front and cut the tail of the cedar off that we put in them, so the less surface area, and so reduce the amount of progesterone. So what you're creating there theoretically is that when you give prostaglandin up front to all the cattle, any of them that have a mature CL, you're going to get rid of it. And so the only progesterone is coming from the cedar, and you don't have so much progesterone. And then the other treatment would be that we're actually giving them less progesterone with a tail cut off the cedar. Another way of doing that is to reuse a cedar, you know, two or three times, and then use one of those to do that, which I think they're doing in South America, maybe Cliff's been involved in that. But in any case, the results were is that the ones that got the prostaglandin up front, about 20-25% of those females were in estrus, and we observed for heat at 42 hours. We bred those cows at 48, and we bred them at 48 hours, on AMPM grilling, we got a 62% preg rate on those cows. And then we fixed time and inseminated everything else at 72 hours, and we got 55% on those. So overall, we did quite well with that treatment. The cutoff cedar didn't help us any. So that may be an approach. And the problem is we're back to checking heat for, you know, at least a day or two in order to get that, to get rid of those cows that, you know, come in heat early. But we're speeding things up, and so maybe the progesterone issue is an issue, and maybe we need to go back to giving prostaglandin before we pull the cedar out back to the, you know, on day six on these cows.
Any final questions? Let's give all of our speakers today a big round of applause for all their information.
Good job.